back on the Campus Chronicle.
Yep, it's been a little bit since we've been back. Good to be talking to Jaden. And for a subject that we haven't addressed, the Indiana Hoosiers, man, winning the national championship over the U, Miami. What were your, you know, I was actually at Smash Park watching the game with my dad and some family friends. So what were your takeaways of the game and how my Indiana played?
I thought they didn't even play that good.
No, they didn't.
Mendoza probably had his worst game of the season.
I agree with that. But hey, they won the game, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if you play terrible and you get a win, that's all that people are going to remember. All people are going to remember is if you get the win, right? And you know what's even cooler is that I think you saw this too. Mendoza grew up like 2 minutes away from University of Miami Stadium, and he wanted to be a Miami Hurricane as a kid. He grew up going to Miami Hurricane games, and for him to win it in his hometown, it's just so cool. And I've told people this. I think Indiana is the greatest sports story of all time. I mean, 2 years ago, they were 4-8, Jaden. Let me say that one more time. They were 4-8 with Tom Allen as their head coach. And now this year, they go undefeated, 16-0 with Kirk Cinetti. And
they're the first team to do that, to go 16-0.
Yeah, 2019 LSU didn't even – they went 15-0. But, Jaden, I'm tired of people comparing 2019 LSU to 2025 Indiana. We all know who would win that game. LSU would win that game. They'd probably win that game by 15 to 20-plus. It wouldn't even be close. Like – but yeah, Indiana, like I said, they play smart, they play physical, they play the right way, and they get transfers that fit their system, right? When you get guys that go out, that know your system and that fit what you want to do, you win games. And that's why Kurt Cinetti's been successful, is because he goes out and he gets guys that he brought over a lot of his guys from James Madison, and he went out and he just needs in the portal. So they do it the right way. And 3 years in a row for the Big Ten, man, it's... I think the Big Ten has overtaken the SEC. Do you think? I mean,
yeah.
The SEC fans are like, well, like every single year we have ranked teams, but the Big Ten has won the past few national championships. How can you not tell me that they're not the best team in college football? Like, I mean, the best conference in college football. Like, but yeah, man, Indiana, congratulations, man. You know, I wanted them to win just because of how bad they've been. You know, how historically bad they've been in their history. And
I thought Miami was going to come back,
dude. I did too.
But then Carson Beck threw a meatball right to the end.
Yeah, dude. So one of our family friends that we were sitting with, he's like, I got a bad feeling about this. Like, Miami's going to win, man. And I thought Miami was going to win, too. My heart was pounding. I was like, all right, come on, Indiana. Come on. You got this. You got this. But who was that guy to pick? Was it Pons? I think he got the pick.
It was Sharp.
Oh, yeah. But for that
Pons
guy,
were the ones that got the, like, pick six on the first play.
Or the block punt. Yeah.
The block punt was, I don't even know.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that block punt changed the game. I mean, I don't think if Indiana gets that block punt that they win that game. I mean, I really don't think, I mean, that I think that was the turning point in the game. I think that's the main reason why they won that game, is because of that block punt. And, but yeah, congrats to Indiana, man. You know, they play the game the right way, right? They don't have any five-star recruits on their roster. You know why they won the game? Because they go to the transfer portal, they get what they need in the portal, and they do it the right way. And that's where experience comes in, right? Experience is going to win you a lot of games. And that's what Indiana has done. They went undefeated because they're more experienced than the other teams, and they do the game the right way. They're fundamentally coached well. They have great players. They have a great coaching staff. So congratulations to Indiana, man. And I'm proud that they won it because of, you know, how bad in their history been, how historically bad they've been. And congratulations to them, man. I'm so proud of Indiana, and way to represent the Big Ten, man. 3 years in a row for Big Ten, and so yeah, it's pretty fun times in the Big Ten, and yeah, man. So we got to talk about some of the coaching hires here in the NFL. Robert Saleh going to the Titans, and Mike McCarthy going to the Steelers. What are your thoughts on those hires?
Mike McCarthy's not good.
No, I thought about this before I came in here. The Steelers are going from 9-8 to 8-9, right? And they're just, I mean, all they're going to hold on to is, oh, we've never had a losing season, this and that. When are they ever going to take it seriously and actually want to win Super Bowls? Where's the old Steelers that we're used to, where they used to win Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl? Where is that Steelers? Like, I just, I mean, we'll see how he does. I mean, I don't know if he's going to do good. I mean, it's Mike McCarthy, right? I mean, you know what's crazy is that he led the Packers to a Super Bowl victory over the Steelers, which now he's coaching with. So it's kind of cool to, you know, see that. And so what were your first initial thoughts when that happened? I mean, I thought it's an okay hire. I mean, it's not like an elite, like
it's a really bad hire.
Yeah, I mean,
there's like way.
Who do you think they could have gotten better? I mean, I think they could have gotten Harbaugh, who's better. I think they could have gotten. I don't know if they want Jeff Hafley as their coach. I mean, Harbaugh was obviously a better candidate. But it's whatever. I mean, the Steelers were just continuing to hold on to those. Oh, we've never had a losing season before, and it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. And Robert Saleh going to the Titans, very interesting move. I thought Matt Nagy was going to go to the Titans. Thank God he didn't, because let's be honest, as a Bears fan, Matt Nagy did not do well as a head coach. And you can say all you want about Fields and all that stuff, but he wasn't a good coach, right? And I hope that Ben Johnson, you know, we saw in 2018 with Matt Nagy's first year how he was just good 1 year, and then the rest of the years when he was with Chicago, he didn't do well. Let's hope that that doesn't happen to Ben. I don't think it will, but let's hope that it doesn't happen to Ben, because we'll get into Ben later and his terrible coaching decisions against the Rams, and we'll get into that. But yeah, I think
it's going to go to the Bills.
I'll get to that after I'm done thinking about the Robert Saleh hire. I think it's great move, right? Another defensive-minded coach for the Titans. And I told people this. Why did the Titans get rid of Vrabel? Like, why? That's a mistake. And I think Vrabel's meant to be a Patriot, right? He played for the Patriots. He knows what it's like to play for the Patriots, right? And I think getting rid of Vrabel was a mistake. It was. I mean, you see how Vrabel did with the Titans. He went into the playoffs, I think, every single year, except for 1 year. And but yeah, I think Robert Saleh would do fine on the Titans. You got to realize he was on the Jets, right? I mean, look at that. Look how the Jets did with Sam Darnold, for God's sake. I mean, speaking of that, we'll get into Sam Darnold later when we talk about the Seahawks and the Rams. But yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, I think they're not going to. It'll be interesting to see how they can compete in the division with the Jaguars and the Titans and the Colts. But I think it's fine. I mean, and it's not a flashy hire, but it's fine. And so going to the Bills, who do I think the Bills will hire? Ooh, I've been seeing. Do you see Philip Rivers' interview for the job? Yeah. He said he doesn't. He's not interested, but he did take the interview. Which Joe Brady, I think, could take the job, but I don't think he. You know what I've seen a lot? Brian Daboll. I mean, do you really want a guy that didn't do well at the Giants to come and coach the Bills? I mean, if you were a Bills fan, would you want Daboll to come coach your team?
No.
I wouldn't either. Some guys are just meant to be offensive coordinators, right? Josh McDaniels, Brian Daboll, Jonathan Gannon is meant to be a defensive coordinator. You know, that's fine. You know, if you're not meant to be a head coach, that's perfectly fine. You know, some guys are just meant to be offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, and that's perfectly fine, right? And so, yeah, man, I just
I would take Clint Kubiak.
Who isn't he
the Seahawks offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think he's a name out there. Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, I think is out there. I think you got to mention Daboll just because of, you know, his connections that he has to the team. And so, who else? I'm trying to think of some other candidates.
Mike LaFleur.
Is that Matt LaFleur's younger brother? Mike Tomlin, possibly. But if I'm the Bills, I want to go on all in and win a Super Bowl, right? I don't want to be stuck on 9-8 every year, right? I mean, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they hire. I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't McDermott's fault. I mean, speaking of the Titans, I'm surprised they didn't hire McDermott. I mean, what he did with the Bills, I mean, he turned them around. And, you know, it's crazy. And speaking of coordinator hires, the dang Kansas City Chiefs brought back Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator, and it gets me mad because Bieniemy was a great running back coach of the Bears. What are your thoughts on that, Jaden?
Say it again.
So Eric Bieniemy, who was the Bears running back coach this year, and was formerly the offensive coordinator with the Chiefs for, I think, 3 years, is back with the Chiefs now as the offensive coordinator. They're going to find any excuse. But the problem is Andy Reid calls plays, right? So I don't know if Bieniemy's going to have a big impact on the Chiefs, but what are your thoughts on that?
I mean,
it is what it is. Man. I mean, he's not going to make an impact, right? I mean, Andy Reid calls the plays, right? And if you think that this is going to help the Chiefs, it's not. I mean, the Bears are going to have to find a new running back coach then, Mitch. And hopefully that Brent brings over somebody that he knows that coached with the Lions with him and that he knows pretty well. And I trust Ben. I trust Ben that he'll bring in somebody that he knows and that, you know, that he, to fill the void. And speaking of the Bears, man, oh, man. I'm still sitting here to this day wondering how the heck we lost to the Rams. I'm going to say this once. Why is Ben Johnson not taking the points? We would have won that game if Ben would have taken the points. And it frustrates me even more that when Caleb made that exciting throw, I was happy, but at the same time, I was like, that could have been a walk-off game winner for the Bears. That throw from Caleb is one of the best throws like I think I've ever seen from a quarterback throw. Seriously, it is. And Ben Johnson, why? You're not Dan Campbell, man. You're not Dan Campbell. Take the points. We could be in the NFC Championship game. We could have been in the NFC Championship game last night playing against the Seahawks. I don't think we would have won, but we could have been there if Ben Johnson would have gotten his head out of his you-know-what and taken the points. I kept telling my dad, you got to take the points. You got to take the points. I get Rome dropped a pass. I get that. I get he dropped a pass for a touchdown. But you got to take the points when they're there. You can't leave points out there, man. You know, and I told my dad, it's like, watch those points come back to haunt them. And it did. The Rams won because the Bears failed to execute on points. I like Ben. He's a good coach. But I'm going to have to criticize that. Ben Johnson not taking those points is hurt the Bears. I mean, what are your thoughts on that game?
I think, you know, like you said, he wants to be like who?
Dan Campbell?
He wants to be like
Dan Campbell. You're not Dan Campbell. You have to take the points at all costs. Even if you miss, I don't blame you for taking the points.
But that touchdown pass was kind of crazy.
And if Rome would have caught that cut, I've told people this. Rome is so inconsistent. Like, he's just.
And then DJ Moore giving up on that.
Yeah, but bro, what are you doing? You're just giving up? Like, bro, we need to trade DJ Moore. We really do. Here's a good trade thing. Max Crosby for DJ Moore? I mean, if you're the Raiders, you say yes to that? Okay, how about this? Max Crosby for DJ Moore in a first-round pick. Who says no to that? I mean, who says no? I mean, if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm doing everything I can this offseason to land Max Crosby. I've been telling people this, and I'm going to say it again. The Bears are one superstar edge rusher away from winning the Super Bowl. They are. I mean, the way Brock Purdy torched us was just crazy, right? And I just, I'm very disappointed in how Ben called that game. I think we could have won that game. You know, like I said, I like Ben as a coach, but he's still learning, right? And I think he needs to get the mindset of stop going for it on fourth down. He needs to realize that he's not with Dan Campbell anymore, right? He needs to learn that I'm not with Dan Campbell. I need to take the points at all costs. Dan Campbell would take the points at all costs. Like, I don't know why Ben's not doing that. And it's frustrating because we could have won that game by like two scores if Ben Johnson. We had three opportunities to take the points, and Ben Johnson didn't even take the points one time. It's so frustrating to me, man. And it's. And
they left like 9 points on the board.
Exactly. They did. And as a Bears fan, it's frustrating. People are like, oh, we're just happy to be here. Yeah, we're happy to be here. But you got to take the points where they're given to you. When they're going to give you points, you got to take advantage of that at all costs. I don't care if you miss one out of three. As long as you take the points, I don't really care, man. It's just. It's frustrating, man. And I still can't believe that, you know, we lost that game. But, yeah, man, if you're Ben Johnson, take the points, man. And, you know, it's very frustrating. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Just a great Bears season. I think the thing I'm most impressed at for the Bears is just the way that they fought this season. And if I'm going to be honest, if we still had Matt Eberflus as our coach, thank God we fired him. We probably have like 3 to 4 wins, maybe. And I think, you know, you saw the season when the Bears were down, they didn't hesitate, right? They didn't give up. You know, when there's 2 minutes on the clock, when there's 1 minute on the clock, we're going down there and we're scoring.
They're not like the 2025 Pacers, the most clutch team of all time.
Except the Pacers went to the NBA Finals and the Bears, you know. But, yeah, that's a great comparison. But, yeah, man, I mean, I think Ben did a great job coaching his team, but I'm going to criticize where I need to criticize that. Ben did not call a great game against our Rams. I'm not hating on the guy. I'm just stating facts here. You know, Ben did not call a great game. And I hope that Ben learns next season to take the points and realize that you're not Dan Campbell and that you need to move on. You're your own head coach. Every single head coach, I bet you 95% of the head coaches in the NFL would have taken the points. At like 95%. But yeah, this is a great season for the Bears. I think I'm really proud of how much adversity that the team faced and how they didn't give up. right? Like I said, you know, when the Bears were, when they were trailing, they very easily could have said, oh, we're done, right? We're not, we're, the game's over. But no, for the Bears to fight back and to, I've saw it multiple times, against the Bengals, against the Giants, against the Vikings, against the Steelers, against the Packers twice. The Bears fought back and they won. You know why? Because they have the right coach that believes in the team and believes in his players and doesn't give up on the team. You know, hey, Caleb, can you go down and can you give him that game-winning drive? The game's not over yet, right? The game, the clock's not over till the clock hits zero. And I think that's the thing I'm most proud of for the Bears this season is how hard they fought and the adversity that they faced. And, you know, nobody predicted us to go to the divisional round. And, so yeah, man, I'm so glad that this organization, that they hired Ben Johnson, because he's a good coach. And, yeah, man, it's just the right season. I can't believe it's already over already, man. I mean, I remember sitting here week one previewing Bears versus Vikings on Monday Night Football, not knowing if the Bears were going to be any good this season. And, you know, sitting here now, the season's over already. And, it's just, it's crazy, man. I can't believe it. And great year, and it was interesting to see what happens this offseason. I hope Ryan Poles goes out and he trades for Max Crosby, because we need him. Max Crosby doesn't want to play for the Raiders, and I don't blame him one bit. I mean, Raiders are a terribly, terribly ran organization. And if I'm him, I don't want to play there. I mean, he's had like five different head coaches in like 8 years, and it's just yeah, man, I'm so proud of the Bears and how hard they fought. And yeah, man, so the Iowa women's basketball team. Did you watch the game yesterday against Ohio State?
No, did they win?
Dominated. You know what? You know what even made it more special is that Ohio State was ranked number 12th, and Iowa was ranked number 10th. And I will look up the score here, but I know they won by a lot. I watched every minute of it. The Iowa women won 91-70 against number 12 ranked Ohio State, and Iowa was ranked number 10. Iowa's record 18-2. Honestly, they should be 19-1. They should have not lost to Iowa State, but I mean, we'll see in March who's the better team. We all know who the better team is. Me and Jaden know. And if you're an Iowa State fan, it's a Hawkeye state. It always has been and always will be. So dude, Ava Heiden, man, she's a dog. Did you see what happened to McCabe?
No. So the very first
play of the game, she got hurt. I don't know what she hurt, but
then I heard that her sister went out too.
Yeah, that's even crazier. Is that so? Taylor McCabe's sister Peyton got hurt too. I don't know what she hurt. I don't know what Taylor and her sister Peyton hurt, but prayers are up for them, man. I hope that they have a speedy recovery, and I hope that they recover well, because they're Taylor McCabe is a great 3-point shooter, and they need her. And hopefully that her sister heals up too and does well. And but yeah, Ava Heiden, man, she's showing why she's the next great post player at Iowa, right? We've seen Megan Gustafson, we've seen Monica Sonano, now Ava Heiden's next up, right? And I think she's probably my favorite player this year. Her or Addie Deal or Chit-Chat are probably my favorite players this year. Stolke's fine. I mean, I like Stolke, but she's inconsistent at times. But yeah, man, I just the Addie Deal, man. The emergence of Addie Deal is crazy. She's coming on at the right time, right? She's showing everybody why she was a 5-star recruit. She's showing everybody why she was, you know, right top 20 in the country for her class. And yeah, man, I just I'm super proud of, you know, Addie Deal and how she's coming on at the right time. And you know, it's the Iowa women's team is so fun to watch. I love watching them play. And yeah, man, it's just it's, I love it. I love it a lot. And you know, it's really cool, you know, just to see. And yeah, man, the Iowa, did you watch the Iowa men's game against Rutgers?
A little of it, yeah.
He did what, dude? Oh my! I love that the Iowa hired Ben McCollum, right? I mean, I really do. You know, they hired Ben McCollum, and you know, he's showing why he was a great hire, right? And did you see Fran's record at Penn right now? 9-8. Jesus, man, Fran can't even do well at an Ivy League school. You might as well just retire already, man. Like, it's just Fran's philosophy was, hey, we're gonna score a lot of points, but we're also gonna give up a lot of points. Ben McCollum's philosophy is if you don't play defense, you're not playing. And that's what my philosophy would be too, is you know, people question, you know, can he do it at this level? Can he, you know, is he built to be a Big Ten coach? Absolutely he is. He's shown, you know, at the beginning of the year, I didn't know if this would work out, but he's showing why it has. And I'm just so proud of Beth Getz and the Iowa Athletic Department for hiring Ben McCollum, because he's a great coach. And his players are good. You know, Bennett Cerse was doubted his whole life. Bennett Cerse was, you know, people told him his whole life, you know, you can't be a Division I player, you know, this and that. And but yeah, people just doubted him his whole life. And, you know, for them to get that win against Rutgers, what part did you watch against Rutgers? Did you watch, like, second half, first half?
Yeah, the last part, like the last 10 minutes.
Dude. Tate Sage is going to be really good for Iowa, number 24. You got to give credit where credit's due. Ben McCollum and his staff went out and they got Tate Sage from Weatherford, Oklahoma, who only had 4 offers. This guy was offered from Iowa. Iowa actually came in late because Tate Sage was actually committed to Drake with Ben McCollum. He's going to go to Drake. And then when Ben McCollum got hired at Iowa, he decommitted from Drake. And then he went to Iowa. And just a great... just a great find by Ben McCollum and his staff. And he had 4 offers. I'll give you the offers right now. Drake, Iowa, Lindenwood, Missouri State, and... Oh, I need to look this up here. I know Tate Sage had a couple high major offers here. Let's look it up here. Tate Sage... All right. His offers that he had, he's from... 6'7" from Weatherford, Oklahoma. He had offers from Iowa, Drake, Missouri State, Tulsa, and Lindenwood. For Iowa to be able to find him is shout out Ben McCollum and his staff, man. That was a great get. I think why I want to know this question, Jaden. Why is Cooper Kotz starting?
No idea.
I mean, I get he's a legacy kid, but like, I don't know what Cooper Kotz brings to this team. I mean, 3-point shooting maybe, but I mean, I just don't know what Cooper Kotz brings to his team. And Jaden, I've been telling people this. Why is Brandon Housen not playing? If he's going to... I mean, did you see what he did last year against Iowa State, that shot that he hit?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Ben McCollum not using him more? And again, like I said with Ben Johnson, I like Ben McCollum. Great coach. But I'm going to criticize where I have to criticize that. I think they need to play... I think that Brandon Housen needs to be starting, right? What he brings as a 3-point shooter is like a Jordan Bohannon. He's not as deadly as Jordan Bohannon can from the 3-point line, but he brings a lot of stuff, you know, from the 3-point line. And what he did against Iowa State last year was just crazy. And I think Iowa, you know, when Brandon Housen first transferred to Iowa, I thought he was going to be the starter, right? I thought that Iowa was going to use him a lot. I thought the lineup was going to be Bennett, Sturts, Cam Manuel, Tavion Banks, Brandon Housen, and Alvaro Forgueras. I thought that was going to be a lineup. And, you know, the thing with Iowa this year is that they didn't really have a true big. I mean, you could say Alvaro Forgueras, but he's more of a power forward. And, you know, their tallest guy in the starting lineup is 6'9". So that's not a center height. And, yeah, it's just, you know, great hire by Iowa. And I wish that he would play Brandon Housen more because he's a great player. And, I wish that Cooper Kotz would be coming off the bench because he's not a bad player. He just I don't think he's starter worthy. Great play by Iowa men to beat Rutgers and to beat Indiana. And they play actually tomorrow against USC. It's gonna be a late one. I don't know if I'll stay up to watch it. You know, hopefully that Iowa wins and that you know what's crazy is that Iowa hosts USC and then the Iowa women go out to USC and play in. You know what? USC doesn't have Juju this year. So, she's out.
She got, like, do they got Jazzy?
But I mean, that's one player, though. I mean, you can't rely on one player. But, hopefully that Iowa women take care of business and get their 20th win on the year. And, Kansas basketball, man. Did you watch them against Kansas State?
No.
BTA was the score. They dominated from the start. Darren did not play, and they still dominated, which is not a surprise to me. They won 86-62, Kansas did. And at Kansas State. And did you see? So this guy from Kansas, Melvin Council, he just started dancing right after Kansas won, and I love it, man. I love watching that guy play. And he dances, man. I love watching his dances. And when you get a big one like that, go ahead and celebrate. I mean, it's against your bitter rival who you dominated for so many years. And Flory had a great game. Trey White had a great game. Melvin Council had a great game. And, yeah, man, it's just I love watching this Kansas team, man. I think this Kansas team is a lot different from last year. You know, I think last year with Dickinson and Kevin McCullough and McCullough wasn't on the team. Dickinson and Elmarco was on that team. AJ Storr, Ryland Griffin, Dak Clements, they just weren't a good team, right? And it's just this year's team is so much different. You know, they don't have Dickinson, who made everybody around him worse. And you know, it just wasn't a good fit at Kansas. And you know, it's just I'm really, really excited for Iowa. I mean, sorry, for Kansas and how they played. And yeah, man, it's just you know who Kansas plays next? Mr. AJ DeBonza in BYU. At Allen Fieldhouse. Saturday, I can look at the timer here. I have it. Saturday at 3:30 p.m., Mr. AJ DeBonza and Darren Peterson will face off for the first time this year. Number one prospect versus number two. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be electric. I expect a lot of Kansas fans to be there. And, yeah, man, all they're going to talk about, who's better. This game will tell you who's better. And you know who's better? Mr. Darren Peterson is better than AJ DeBonza. And AJ DeBonza said this, and I agree with him 100%. This is probably the best freshman class we've ever seen. I mean, you have Darren Peterson, AJ DeBonza, Nate Ament, Carlos and Cameron, Cameron, the Boozer twins. You got,
did you see that Illinois freshman?
Yeah, Caden, was it Hauser? Caden Hauser or something like that, who Iowa actually recruited and Kansas recruited. Who else you got? You got Jace Richardson from, no, was he 2025? I don't think Jace Richardson was 2025. But like I said, you got Darren, you got AJ, you got the Boozer twins, you got Nate Ament, you got who else you got? You want to look up the 2025 recruiting class? I'm trying to think of other guys that they have. Man, I can't. I can't remember anybody else that is in that class that's probably good. I know Duke's got some guys that are pretty good. Yeah, this could be the best freshman class of all time. You know, what AJ DeBonza said. And yeah, so I think it's really cool, man. And
Cameron Bruiser.
Yep.
AJ DeBonza.
AJ DeBonza.
Caleb
Darren
Wilson.
Oh, yeah. What team is he on? Isn't he on a Duke?
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Darren Peterson.
Yep.
Darius Acuff.
Yep, from Arkansas. Yep.
Kingston Flemings.
They don't know him.
I think he just dropped 40.
What team? Oh, he's on Houston? Oh.
Abuka Okori.
What team is he on?
Stanford.
I didn't know Stanford.
Ian Wagler.
Dang, I didn't know Stanford has five-star guys. I didn't know that they're that smart.
Koa
Dang.
Pete.
Yeah.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Braylon Mullins.
Indiana? No, UConn. UConn. Yeah, man. So let's get into the subject we've all been waiting for. The NFL this weekend. Jaden, what were your thoughts on the games and what happened this?
The Patriots and Broncos were in a snowstorm. It was a really bad game.
They sold, bro. They sold so bad. And the amount of missed field goals in that game, I swear to God, every team probably missed 4 to 5 field goals a game. It was bad. If you're a Patriots fan, listen to this. Patriots are frauds, man. I mean, I get it snowing. But how do you barely beat Jarrett Stidham by 3 points? How? How do you beat a backup quarterback who hasn't played all season long, hasn't even taken one snap? Exactly, hasn't played one snap. How do you only beat him by 3 points? I get it's snowing. I get all that. But, like, you couldn't run the ball down their throats? Like, come on, Patriots? Like, what's going on, man? Like, it's just So my brother was a Broncos fan, and we were watching the game, and I kept telling him, I was like, field goals have been the factor in this game. You know, the reason why Broncos and Patriots have been missing kicks is because of the weather, right? And I don't blame the teams for kicking field goals, but at the same time, like, if you know that you keep missing them, why do you keep going for field goals, right? Why not just go for it, right? And it's just, but yeah, great game by Drake May. Hats off to Mike Vrabel, great coach. And you know, I've been thinking about this. This isn't the same old Patriots, right? Where you have Bill Belichick and you have Tom Brady. I like Mike Vrabel as a coach. I really do. I don't hate him one bit. I thought he was a great coach with the Titans. The Titans never should have gotten rid of him. You know, he was a great coach. He led them to the playoffs. I think every single year he was there. And you know, Vrabel knows what it's like to be a Patriot. He embodies the spirit of a New England Patriot. You know, he played for the Patriots for 7 years. He was Tom Brady's teammate for 7 years, and he won a couple Super Bowls with them. He was the anchor of that defense, him and Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis and Rodney Harrison and, you know, all those guys. You know, those he truly embodies what it means to be a Patriot, and I think he knows that. And great hire by the Patriots. And but, yeah, speaking of the other game, what were your thoughts on the Seahawks and Rams?
The Rams should have won that game. At the end of the game, I think.
Why was McVay going for it on 4th and 4? Why would you not take the points? I just don't get it. But
Seattle has a good defense.
Yeah, but they sold till the end, man. They were. But shout out Sam Darnold, man. And I've told you this before, and I will say it one last time. The Vikings should have never, ever, ever gotten rid of Sam Darnold. They shouldn't have. That was a mistake. And look how it's panned out for him. Look how J.J. McCarthy's doing. He's not doing good. He's not. I get it. It's his first year starting. But he's not doing good. Right? And, you know, Sam Darnold for so many years in his career, man, was just held back by terrible coaching. And he was on terrible organizations for so many years. And I feel bad for him, honestly. You know, when he first got drafted, he said, the reporter said, what do you bring to the Jets? And he says, a lot of wins. Buddy, you won like 8 games in 3 years. That is not good. But honestly, it's the Jets, right? I mean, you can't really blame him for saying that. I mean, if I was a quarterback going to the Jets, I would say that. But if I'm a quarterback this year, I do not want to go to the Jets. I mean, I really don't. I can see why Dante Moore came at this school. But yeah, man. And then he goes to the Panthers. He's with coach with Matt Rhule, and he learns behind Baker Mayfield. And who was the quarterback when he was there? I think it was it Baker? I don't remember when he was there in 2022 in the Panthers. I don't remember who the quarterback was when he was there, but yeah. And then he goes to the Niners, and he learns behind, you know, a great offensive mind and Kyle Shanahan. He learns behind Purdy, who's a good quarterback. Who's an average quarterback, and he learns behind Shanahan, who, you know, develops quarterbacks nonstop. I mean, look how Mac Jones played when he was in with Kyle Shanahan, right? And then he gets his opportunity with the Vikings, and he balls out. He leads them to 14 wins, and they didn't win the division, but they had 14 wins this year. And as a Vikings, like, I don't hate the Vikings one bit, but, like, why would you get rid of him, right? You know, why would you get rid of Sam Darnold, who led you to 14 wins? And I don't get it, man. It's the same thing with Baker Mayfield. The guy led you to the playoffs, got you the most wins in your team's history, and you just get rid of him. For what? For Deshaun Watson, who should be locked up behind bars right now? Like, it's just, what did the Vikings gain from Sam Darnold leaving? They didn't gain anything. They gained a handoff merchant in J.J. McCarthy. That's what they gained. And speaking of J.J. McCarthy, he's the guy that he handed the ball off to 500 times a game did actually pretty well last night. Bite corn, but yeah, man, it's cool to see Sam Darnold ball out, right? Because, you know, for him to start his career with a terrible organization, for him to revive it, you know, with the Vikings, who never, like I said, never should have got rid of him, and then for him to go to the Seahawks and ball out, and Mike McDonald, good coach, he's a good coach, and yeah, man, I thought the Rams were gonna win too. I thought there's just no way that they're gonna lose.
I thought that, like, because Matthew Stafford always has a game-winning drive at the end of the game, but I mean, Seattle deserved to win the game.
Yes, they did. And like I told you before we hopped on here, they have a chance to get revenge for that dumb Brian Schottenheimer call, passing it at the 1-yard line when you have beast mode Marshawn Lynch at the 1-yard line. He would have scored. I bet you 95% sure he would have scored that touchdown. But as a sports fan, why would you pass it there? Malcolm Butler picks it off. Who is Malcolm Butler? If Malcolm Butler didn't get that pick, nobody would know who he is. Nobody would. And much as people want to say people would know who he is. No, nobody knew who Malcolm. I mean, did you know who Malcolm Butler is before that? No. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody. Unless if you're a diehard Patriots fan and you follow the team, but yeah, man, I just Seahawks have a chance to get revenge, and I do think the Seahawks will win. I want the Seahawks to win because I'm not saying the Patriots aren't deserving, but like they've been to the Patriots. The Patriots have been to Super Bowl so many times, right? They've won how many have they won? They've won 6. They don't need to win any more Super Bowls, right? The Seahawks need to get Super Bowl number 2. They were so close to getting number 2 against the Patriots, and Brian Schottenheimer, who's actually, coincidentally enough, is the head coach of the Cowboys now, made a dumb decision to pass it. I don't know. Who was the pass to? Do you remember? Was it Tyrell Lockett? When Malcolm Butler picked that up.
Yeah.
It was the Tyrell Lockett. And why would you not run it with beast mode? Okay, this is Marshawn Lynch, right? And this is the goal line right here. He was right here. And you decide to pass it. Marshawn Lynch, 95% sure, would have scored that touchdown. And the rest is history. The Patriots got lucky, though. I mean, let's be honest. The Patriots did get lucky in that game. But Shout out the Patriots and Seahawks, man. And give me your Super Bowl MVP prediction and who you think is going to win. I'll go first. Seahawks will win. Ooh, I think they'll win by 10 to 15. And I think Sam Darnold will get an MVP.
Seahawks, the score is going to be 34 to 27.
You think it's going to be close?
Yeah.
I don't think it will be.
34-27. And Jackson Smith and Jigba's are going to win.
Okay, I can see that. Cooper Kupp could get another ring, man. That's crazy. Ever since that, whatever happened to Cooper Kupp? He's fallen off ever since that Super Bowl.
He won that triple crown and then
yeah, and he just
Super
nobody's
MVP,
heard of him.
And then, I don't know.
Did they just decide not to throw him the ball, or I think it's because of Puka, right? They have Puka and Akua now. They, you know. But yeah. Shout out Seahawks and shout out Rams, man. And it's going to be a great Super Bowl weekend. And you know what's crazy? Super Bowl 50 was in Santa Clara, and the Broncos and the
and they said
and the Panthers
Drake
played.
May was there. Drake May was in attendance at that Super Bowl, they said.
And 10 years later, it's in Santa Clara, and Drake May's in a Super Bowl. I swear to God, the NFL has got to be scripted. Somehow, some way, it has to be. I mean, do you believe in that? I mean,
yeah.
It's got to be. There's just no way, like... I wanted the Broncos to go to the Super Bowl because my younger brother is a Broncos fan, right? And my dad cheers for the Broncos too, even though my dad is a Bears fan with me. My dad wanted the Broncos to win, and I did too. If I firmly believe this, Jaden, and you can add on to this. If the Broncos had Bo Nix, they would have won probably 30-10. Do you think that?
I don't think it would have been that.
No, but I think that they would have won.
But I think they would have won.
Yeah. But like, yeah. And so yeah, Jaden, we got to talk about this. 6 years ago, on this day, Kobe Bryant and his daughter and 9 others were sadly taken from us. 6 years ago. I still remember where I was, right? So I was sitting on my couch watching the NFL Pro Bowl, right? And you know how on ESPN, how they have like those score updates and stuff? How do I say this? It came up on there. You know how when there's breaking news, it has like a red thing and it shows up? So it said breaking news: Kobe Bryant, tragic kettle. I thought it said Conan O'Brien. You know who that is? At first I thought it said that, and I looked at it. I was like, Kobe Bryant. I was like, this has got to be a joke, bro. Someone's got to be playing a joke on us. And my dad actually was on a bike ride at the time, and he looked at his phone, and he thought it was a joke too. I was like, there's just no way that this can be real. And then at the NFL Pro Bowl, I was watching it, and on the screen, they said Kobe Bryant died. I was like, there's just no way he died. It just can't be. And, you know, I come to find out that I turn on the news. I think at halftime at the Pro Bowl, they turned to the news and they said breaking. I don't remember because it was so long. It was 6 years ago. 6 years ago doesn't feel like a long time, but for me it does. It's a breaking news. Kobe Bryant and his daughter are tragically killed in a helicopter crash. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was sad, sad day. And, it's just a sad, sad day, man. Kobe Bryant and his daughter taken away 6 years. I can't believe it. 6 years ago on this day, Mr. Kobe Bryant and his daughter were taken away from us. And where were you at, Jaden, when you found out that news?
I was in my bed, right?
You were?
And the Pro Bowl was going on.
You were watching it, too. We were both watching the Pro Bowl.
So then, like, my mom called down. She's like, Kobe just died. And I'm like, You're lying though, right? So we were watching the TV. We were flipping through news station, and then it came up on like TMZ reported it.
Yeah,
and then we were like, "Dang, it really happened."
You know, you don't know.
Like, I thought it was fake.
Yeah, you're not sure to believe TMZ because then you know Fox News comes on and CBS and you know all those news channels and. Yeah, and this just to see Shaq crying, just bawling down, crying because you know Kobe and Shaq were great teammates. They won championships together, and
they had that beef going too.
They had beef.
Yeah,
I did not know. What did they have beef about?
Because Kobe, I mean, Shaq always said he was the better player, but Kobe thought he was better. But
who
Shaq
do you think was
the
better player
on the Lakers? Like during Shaq's
I think
time,
Kobe made. I think Shaq made Kobe win.
During Shaq's time, Shaq was better. But like, if you look at their whole career, Kobe was better.
Yeah, but I think Shaq is the most dominant center I think I've ever seen play. There would never, ever be another Shaq
like,
again.
Since they all had to guard Shaq and double team and everything, I think that made that Kobe thrived off of that.
Yeah, I do too. But yeah, man, it was just it's so sad. And you know what's crazy? Kobe Bryant's wife even told him not to go out on that day because it was I think it was like foggy or something. It was foggy, it was rainy, and Kobe, you probably should have listened to your wife, buddy. I think your wife knows what she's talking about. I think Kobe thought, oh, I'm an NBA player. I can just, you know, I don't have to listen to my wife. But, buddy, Kobe, I think your wife was right about that. I think your wife was right to tell you that you shouldn't have gone on that helicopter crash. And, yeah, man, 6 years ago. I can't believe it, dude. It's been 6 years since Kobe Bryant and his daughter and nine others were tragically killed. And, rest in peace, man. Forever be a legend. And you know, it's very, very sad. And just you know, and to see MJ at his funeral, just crying, you know, because Kobe was like a brother to him, right? People compared Kobe to be the next MJ, right? And it's just it was just so sad to see, and just to see all those players there, and you know, and to see Gigi there, and man, it was. Tough day for the NBA world that day, and I always remember where I was, man. I was in my living room watching the Pro Bowl, and it was just tragedy came, and I didn't know what to think, and so yeah, man, very, very sad day, and yeah, man. So did you see this? The Northwest versus Valley game got canceled on Friday because of the terrible weather.
When are they going to reschedule it?
I don't even know, but you know what's coming up here a couple of days is the Northwest versus Valley. All right, sorry, not Northwest versus Waukee game at Waukee. And we should try to get to that game. I'll see if I can go to that game. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that none of my teams play that day. None of KU, Iowa women. Hopefully that none of those teams play. And so, yeah, looking forward to Northwest and a great season. And so, Jaden, speaking of the Pro Bowl, are you going to watch the Pro Bowl this year? Or?
Yeah.
The Pro Bowl's such
a joke. I always
watch
it, but it's just it gets worse every year.
Yeah, like bro, it's pretty much a simulated flag football game with like drills and like you know 2020 that was the last real Pro Bowl that was actually real. No, I think 2022 I think was the last Pro Bowl that they actually had pads on and they actually played.
But they don't even. It's like even with the pads on, they were still playing flag football.
Yeah,
they never
dumb.
Even tackled each other or anything.
If you're gonna put pads on, you might as well like just do two hand touch or something like that. But. You know, it was just, I mean, the Pro Bowl's not what it once used to be, right? And it's just, you know, it's, I'll see if I can watch it. You know, I think my brother might have wrestling, but I'll try to watch it as much as I can. And, you know, hopefully that that they do well. And so, yeah, man, how are your Lakers doing this year?
Bad.
Bad, really bad.
Trying to do bad because Austin Reeves, he's supposed to be coming back soon, but
that boy Austin Reeves, that white boy.
But they just lost to the Clippers, but they beat the Mavericks.
What are your thoughts on the Clippers and Lakers sharing a stadium together? Did you like that or
that was dumb? I think they should have their own stadium.
They do now. Yeah. But why did it take them like when did the Staples Center open? Like 1990 something.
A long time ago.
Why did it take them that many years to build a new stadium? Like, if I'm the Clippers, I do not want to share a home stadium or I do not want to share a home arena with the Lakers. No offense.
Like you're sharing a stadium with your big brother.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Lakers will always
even
be big
done
bro.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
In their whole history.
Yeah, you don't see any celebrities going to Clippers games. You see them going to Lakers games. You know why? Because of their history and how good they've been. Just like with the with the Knicks too, you see a lot of celebrities go into those games. And so yeah, man, it's just hopefully that, you know, your Lakers, you know, do well, and you know, that you guys are, you know, doing well, because I don't really follow NBA like I used to. You know, I think
they're just not, like, I don't even watch the games anymore. They're like unwatchable after like Shea and everyone, foul bait, and it's not even like good watches anymore. It's not ethical basketball.
No, it's not, and it's just I don't like it. It's
like the last good year was like maybe when the Bucks won the championship, or who won before that?
Lakers.
That, like, the bubble season.
But, yeah, but besides the bubble, it was still pretty good, and it was, you know, it was still pretty good, and yeah, man, it's just So yeah, man, it's been a little while since we've spoken, but yeah, man, we got a lot of things going on here at DMAC, man. You know, a lot of great things, and it's just been like this and that, and you know, we've been doing well. We've actually added a lot of new people to the Campus Chronicle. Jaden, what are your thoughts on those new people that have joined? I like them.
They're pretty cool.
They are cool. They're chilling. I think every single one of them brings something different to the Chronicle, right? I'm the sports guy. You know, you're the photo and the sports guy. Everybody brings something little different. You know, that's why we're a great team, is because, you know, every one of us brings something different. You know, hey, we need another photographer. All right, we have people. And I think the more people that listen to this, that's what we're trying to do, right? You know, me and Jaden, we don't do this. We do this because we love it, right? Me and Jaden, we love talking sports with you guys, man. We love... Every single day, I love, you know, because my whole life is sports, right? Without sports, I don't know where I'd be, right? I don't know where I'd be, right? And I'm so glad that I get to talk sports with you, Jaden, because it just allows me to get away from DMAC and not think about school, and just to, you know, talk sports and talk about my knowledge. And so, yeah, I love it a lot. And, you know, hey, if you listen to this, come join the Chronicle, man, and come on, hop on our podcast, man. We would love to have you guys, man. And I just would love you guys to come on, man. We got a lot of new people that have joined the Chronicle. So we're actually doing another interview today, actually. Who do you want to talk to the people about that, Jaden?
We're interviewing the interim president.
Yeah, it's me. Well, I might just sit down here. I don't know if I'll talk, but I'll pop in. So it's going to be me, you, and what's the other kid's name? I forget his name.
James?
Yeah, I think James. So me, Jaden, and James will all be here actually in about 30 minutes or so. We are going to interview the new
It was at 1.
What?
I thought it was at 1.
It's at 1?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, it's at 1 that me and Jaden will be... actually, no, I won't be able to.
Class.
I have class. Dang it. I will not be able to come in, but... yeah, man. Hopefully that you guys have a great interview, and that you guys, ask him a lot of questions, right? Because I'm sure he'll be glad to speak with you guys. And what's the interim president's name? What's his?
I don't know.
You don't know? We're gonna have to find new things about him.
I thought it was some other dude, but then they posted a totally other.
So
random.
So how are they gonna find it? Are they gonna have to like elect a new president, or like?
I think they gotta go through the whole process again.
Do you think he'll be the one that gets hired?
Him? Mm-hmm. The interim?
Yeah.
No, he can't. Like, he's just sitting in right now.
What? They can't? Like, they can't hire him?
They can't. Like, he's not the... Because he's just, like, the sit-in right now. Like, he's not a candidate for it.
So, he's... Like, even he's if he was a candidate, they still can hire him?
I mean, I don't think so. Because he's, like, he's bounced around from other colleges.
Oh, so he's been everywhere.
Yeah.
He's been, yeah, man, he's been everywhere. And, you know, it's... Yeah, we got you know, a lot of great things going on here at DMAC, and we had speaking of that, you guys need to watch our Instagram reels that we have. We have great things for you guys going on. And yesterday, a couple days ago, as I'm looking at a hat right now, we did you and Cordella. What did you guys made your own? Is this your hat right here?
No, not mine.
Is this Daryl? Oh yeah, it is. It just says Prince on it. But yeah, I told Daryl and those guys they got to get me on, and they're great dudes, Daryl and Nemo. They're great dudes, and I need to find a time to. I'm busy all this week, man. So last semester would have been perfect to get me on with those guys, but yeah. So have you been on their podcast before? What did they talk about with you? Just like
a bunch of random stuff,
like just random things that came to their head, or you know. But yeah, so what should I look forward to when I go onto their podcast? Like, what are some of the stuff that I need to, like, you know?
I mean, just fit in, like, just
I'll fit in,
provide yourself.
Yeah, I know Nemo and Daryl. They like me, so I like them too, and you know, they're great. You guys actually want to listen to them? Their podcast is called On the Loose. Is there a podcast on Spotify? I don't think it is. Yeah, it is. Daryl and Nemo, man, they got a lot of great stuff going on there, man. It's good stuff. And have you been keeping up on DMAC Sports at all?
No,
you haven't. Hopefully,
there was that dude that came in that he takes pictures of the sports.
Oh yeah, is he gonna come in today or?
No, he says he was gonna come in Friday. He has class right now.
How old is that guy, bro? That guy's like 30 something, bro.
He's older than that.
You can be my dad, bro. That's crazy. But yeah, man, I just great week in the NFL, man, and it's crazy. The NFL offseason will be here before we know it. And yeah, man, did you see the speaking of that, a couple more things here. Did you see the transfer that Iowa got from Ohio State? The cornerback, whatever that guy's name is? Mm. Cody Hadadad. That's his name. All right. He came into Iowa from Ohio State. I believe he has 4 years of eligibility remaining. And my thoughts on that, I mean, he's not going to be like a starter. He'll just be like a depth piece, you know, just a rotational guy that will probably come in when we're playing against, you know, you and I, or when we're playing against schools that we're going to destroy by a lot. He'll come in against those teams and just try to hopefully make an impact at Iowa. And I'm happy about that. Speaking of that, we need to talk about this transfer that Iowa got. His name is Tanner Philpott. He's a punter that transferred into Iowa from Simpson.
My friends knew him.
Who's your friends?
Sam Harrington.
Did he go to Simpson?
Yeah, he plays for
Simpson. Did he go to Hoover?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Tanner Philpott is an alum of Northwest High School. And you know what's crazy? I actually went to elementary school with Tanner Philpott. So it's kind of crazy that, you know, Tanner Philpott, who I've known, I'm not really like good friends with him, but I know who he is. It's kind of interesting to see him, you know, go to Iowa and become their starting punter because, you know, I knew Tanner Philpott in elementary school. He's a great dude. And I used to play Tanner Philpott in dodgeball all the time. And he would get everybody out, right? And he was the guy that everybody wanted to get out, right? But they never could because he was just so bigger and better than everybody. And I got him out one time, kind of accidentally got him out. But yeah, man, I shout out Tanner Philpott, man. Former Waukee Northwest alum. Shout out Waukee Northwest, Go Wolves, baby. And I actually watched Tanner Philpott. I don't think I've missed a game with Tanner Philpott. I went to a lot of games when Philpott was there at Northwest, and good to see my Wolf alumni doing well, man. You know, anytime a former Wolf is doing well, I want to see them do well. And and it's, you know, it's even cooler that it's on Iowa because I'm a diehard Iowa fan and I'm a diehard Waukee Northwest fan. You know, I went there, and he joins Cale Winter now, his former teammate, who is class of 2023. So there's two Waukee Northwest Wolves on Iowa Hawkeyes. One will play, hopefully start, and one doesn't play, Cale Winter. But great move. And then Iowa actually brought, did you see this? Iowa actually brought in another Australian punter, a 19-year-old.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people are saying that he's going to start, but here's my thing. I think Philpott should start. I'm not saying that because he went to Northwest and I'm a Northwest fan. I have no bias intended in this. Philpott was a D3 All-American. Now, you could say, well, it's D3. If you have experience at any level, JUCO, NAIA, Division I, Division II, you have experience no matter what, right? And if you have experience at those levels, you have experience, right? And that we saw that with Indiana. Experience wins games. Experience is going to win you a lot of games. And Tanner Philpott was a D3 All-American, right? He was a year older than me in high school in the Waukee Northwest, and I anticipate Philpott will be the starter. I hope that he is. Cross our fingers that he will. The reason why I think he will be a starter is because he was a D3 All-American. And he's way more experienced than this Australian punter that they brought in. I'm not trying to knock on the Australian punter that they brought in. Boston Everett is his name, the new punter that Iowa brought in. I think he came from the same place that Tori Taylor came from, in like Pro Kick Australia. I think that was where he came from. But hopefully that Tanner Philpott is the starter this year, because he has experience, right? And like I said, if you have JUCO, it doesn't matter where you have experience from, no matter if it's from JUCO, NAIA, Division One, Division Two, Division Three, D3, you know, no matter what it is, man, you have experience, right? And Philpott was a D3 All-American, and I'm glad that he committed to Iowa, because now I can cheer for him. Now every single time he punts, I can say, I went to high school with that guy. I went to elementary school with that guy. You know, I can tell people that. And I'm happy for him. You know, he's a great dude, and I couldn't be more proud. And speaking of Iowa, did you see Caden Wiesian was cooking at
He was saucing people up.
He was moving. He was that white guy from Iowa is going to prove a lot of people wrong. And you know what annoys me is that Iowa didn't use him enough, right? He only had one. I think he only had one receiving touchdown at Iowa this year. That's sad. They should have used him more. They should have used him more on offense. They should have used him more on. They just should have used him more. They should have used him as a little bit of running back. They should have used him at receiver. They should have used him. Let's be honest. He's only getting again in the NFL because of his punt return abilities. And he only had one punt return touchdown. One receiving touchdown. He had two I think he had two rushing touchdowns this year. And it's just, do I think Caden Wiesian is a great player? Heck yes. But I don't think Iowa used him the right way, right? And I just don't know why. You know, Iowa can develop two-star recruits, but they can't develop a guy that's really explosive, right? And it's just, I don't know. But I think, watch him just ball out in the NFL, right? Watch him, prove a lot of people wrong, right? Because he came from the JUCO ranks and nobody thought he'd be good, and he proved a lot of people wrong, and Wiesian will forever be an Iowa legend, and I'm really proud of him. And that's really all I got for us today. And it's good to be back, good to be back talking with you guys, man. I miss talking with you. It's been a while, but good to catch up and talk sports with you, Jaden, forever, always, man.
That's all we got.
Yeah, follow us, man.
On TikTok, Instagram, and X, the Matt Chronicle. And if you want to join us, we're always in Building 5, yep. Room 1.
Join
6.
Us, man. We would love to have you guys. You know, we got even if you want to join the staff, man, come on in. You know, we got, from photographer to Jaden to, writing stories like me and Jaden do to, all that stuff, man. Just come on in. We would love to have you, and we would love to talk with you and your story. And, another great episode, and hopefully to be back here on Wednesday or Friday.
We'll see you guys next episode.
See ya.